Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? On a Tuesday from Radio Row in sunshiny Houston, Texas, it's Barry Laminack to my left, Nick Sciarra front and center where he is controlling the room as always, and myself, Joel Blank, as we get ready for day two of the extravaganza, because if it's a show that must go on, well, then we are on Radio Row, and
Dude, you got here quickly from Sprint. Good job.
Yeah, the helicopter landed on top of the George R. Brown. Yeah. It was a phenomenal view of that new pool over at the Marriott shaped in the state of Texas.
Those are cowboy tiers. That's not an actual pool.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, those are cowboy fan tiers.
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
That's what they did. They filled all the pools up around George R. Brown with the tiers from cowboy fans.
Yeah, they were definitely around. Yeah, and so I saw the pool. They brought me in through the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lady Gaga, eat your heart out. You're doing it for the actual game. I did it here at the GRB
now
just to get to the Radio Row.
Now she's just a hack, right? She's just a biter now.
No, she's Carlos Mencia.
Yeah, that's exactly
she's stealing
right.
my bit.
That's right.
That's what we're talking about. Nick, you made your national TV appearance.
I did.
I was texting you.
What? Did you screenshot it for me?
I had it on DVR.
I was on NFL. See, he could have DVR'd. I was on NFL Network. What? ESPN as well.
So, yeah. So, Nick and Will Polacek from our network.
Are the hoes calling already?
No, not really.
Oh,
no?
Yesterday.
Unfortunately.
Yesterday he was getting digits.
To what?
Yesterday he was getting digits.
You got
from
digits?
Rudy Rudiger's handler. Yeah, they were exchanging intimate phone numbers and messages while we were on the air yesterday. Yeah.
Got her business card.
Three bills? Yep.
Three.
No.
Phil
no.
Potts was playing the music.
No, she was strong. She was strong.
She was?
Because the Nick picks were going to be flowing.
Yeah?
Yeah, especially, did you get alcohol last night?
I did not. I wanted to.
See? That would have been the
difference
maker.
I don't know if I
maker.
Should admit that on the
that
air, but yeah.
That could have closed the deal. Oh, speak of the devil, Nick.
Is that...
Here goes your second chance.
Is that
your first impression.
Watch me get that business card.
Is that her?
No, it's not.
Is that
you
her?
Sure? It's not the same girl?
No. No,
because
okay.
I was going to give her the headset.
Because I actually ran into her. Today. You're talking about the handler for Rudy Rudiger.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw her. She's over there.
Oh, is she? Go get her. Let's do a
three way or what?
Let's do a well.
Well,
we're
now
married.
That you said that. If Barry was on the road, that would be a possibility. If we were in El Paso, but
doorbell.
Since we're not, yeah. Doorbell
I think
or the
Nick just invited me into his bedroom.
Yeah. Why not?
I'm considering it.
I'm sorry. Why not?
Yeah.
I'm considering it.
It's bonding. It's not necessarily being gay or
sure
not being gay.
It's not bondage instead of bonding when you say it like that?
Only gay if they touch.
Okay. So right? It's not gay at all.
Okay.
See.
Well, sometimes when you touch, the honesty is too much.
All what right. if you watch?
He just made this a Hallmark card.
Did you hear, by the way, Philpott just said, what if you want to watch?
Yeah. Philpott was
you got space in your closet you can sell to Philpott?
Hey, this isn't being streamed, is it?
I hope not.
No,
I hope
because
this
he'd
is
be
not
right
ABC.
In the way he'd be right in the way the camera, which is on his lap.
Because we were supposed to be done streaming on ABC13.com, which is why we can talk like this now, right?
So, by the way, guys, too, as big as this building is, and we were trying to cover how every nook and cranny is covered by something with the NFL, and we are on like the fourth floor, the NFL experience on the first floor. But my wife did a live shot on Saturday, and after that, got home and in a panic said, she can't find her makeup brushes or her lipstick. And I was like, yeah, okay, great. So I'll just go to CVS and get. She goes, you don't understand. Makeup brushes are expensive and
like
they're
expensive?
Vital. This is where I'm going, right? So I go I go to CVS on the way home and I ask the lady, give me two of those little one for eye makeup. Just give me some. They have kits.
Yeah.
Total price? $20.67. I'm
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
I get home.
That's
honey,
great.
I got your brushes covered. Don't worry about it.
Right.
She goes, no, you don't understand. But I'm just going to go buy some other ones. And I go, so what am I missing? She goes, the total value of that, just the brushes themselves, that package, $600 to $650. No, you're not going to buy another one. I will scour the GRB if I have to myself.
Dude.
And by the way, in doing so, I found out there's two lost and founds, and one's not open right now.
Why are you need
who
to
knew?
You got to control your woman, Joel.
She's on TV, dude.
Why
so the face is everything.
You got
there's nothing I can do about it.
You got to put your foot down. You're the man of the house.
Even if I put my foot down, I have a feeling she's going to put the brushes up.
Well,
that's a competition at that point.
Kirsten was actually, Kirsten who works in the hour, she was telling me about that and she was saying some brushes go for $50
just for one
brush, which is insane.
Yeah. All right, I'm not going to lie. I actually had to buy my wife some of these for Christmas. and spend like $50 a brush at like Mac or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, Mac is expensive.
Either at the department store cosmetic counters, which you know are charging triple anyway.
But I can't bitch because video games are like $70 a piece.
Yeah.
And I'm like getting like 9 of them around Christmas, so I really can't say anything. I can't.
And by the way, is it X-Texan too, right, Brian Brayman?
Yes.
Yeah, does he not look like he needs to use a lot of – he uses a lot of product?
Thor?
He looks like, yeah, he looks like Thor and Fabio.
I thought he was Lion-O from the Thundercats. I did. I thought that's what he was.
Yeah, but I mean, he knew Raheel. Like, who doesn't?
Did he?
But, yeah. But at the same time, he walked by. And a matter of fact, I thought Nick said, who's the hot tall chick? And then he turned around.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Notice it was a dude.
Yeah. Say, whoops. That's my first mistake of the week.
I'd like to climb that tree. Yeah, well, you'd have to get around a couple extra
branches.
From behind,
you can't tell.
Nick.
He's well built.
So Philpot, right there is a soundbite that you need to put in the bank for us. Because from behind,
calves.
You can't tell, and he's well-built.
Oh, we're sorry, cut up. We're good.
That's
good.
That's excellent. So your experiences last night, you did Minute Maid, which was decked out pretty damn well, I might say.
Yeah.
As we call it, the media availability / gangbang central for both teams. Did you run into the Tom Brady imposter?
I did. That mask that he was wearing
creepy,
was so creepy. Everybody was calling
it
creepy.
It,
Edelman was calling it creepy.
I saw a picture of it, yeah.
Yeah, so he was actually taking a selfie of him with the real Tom Brady behind him, and it was definitely very, very creepy.
It had a very Eyes Wide Shut feel to it.
Right.
Like you just
knew.
Like Nick
inviting you to a threesome?
Yeah, like I'd show up and Nick would be wearing that
But
mask.
Again, there was no touching, so it wasn't gay.
Fine.
He just
totally fine.
Pulled his phone out.
Nothing wrong with that.
Selfie.
Is that her?
Clarify that, too.
Nothing wrong with it.
That was mean, Barry. I saw that. You see, and you talk about mean, but that one was a little bit below the belt. You won't. You won't on the way
it's
back.
It's just starting, guys.
It is.
Four more days of this.
It is phenomenal.
4 more days, 3 hours, and 45 minutes of it.
And then what's crazy to me, too, when watching all that, besides seeing Nick on TV and Will Polacek on TV, was the fact that, like, Inez signs is still a thing. You know, she had her 15 seconds of fame, like, how many years ago? And then last night, everybody's still, what's she wearing? Who, you know.
Who?
See, exactly. You can Google it. But Inez signs about, what was it, like, 5 to 7 to 10 years ago at one of these media availabilities, had, like, painted on clothing. And got to be a thing with the players and everybody else.
Okay, well, I apparently didn't spell this right because I just pulled up a bunch of old paintings.
So anyway, even NFL Network was like, hey, Inez Sainz is back. Look what she's posing and stepping back so you can see it all. It's like, so it's the show within the show is what that whole fiasco has become. And then, Nick, you got to sample a concert in the middle of it?
I did. Well, the concert was at the end. I think it was more for the fans. But there was a little bit of a band, like, in between teams. Like, when they initially brought out the Falcons. And
yeah,
then
it was like
there was
the
a
halftime
band.
Act.
Exactly, yeah. And then they had another one after, but I didn't stay for that.
Were you there when Conrad sent me a picture of a question that was asked? I guess it was so Zach Kiefer on Twitter tweeted this out.
Okay.
And he said that this actually happened. A reporter to a Falcons player said, is this a must-win on Sunday?
Jeez.
And the Falcon player just stared at him. Now, I want to know who the reporter is, and I definitely want to know which Falcon was asked that, because there is no more appropriate answer than to just stare at someone that would ask you that question.
And here's the other thing. That's become the norm. Like
the questions like
yeah,
that?
The players are all prepped in the fact that expect the unexpected. Whatever you don't think you'll ever be asked, you're going to be asked.
You're going to get dumb
and
questions.
And then the fact that you can handle it by just kind of laughing it off and or saying whatever you want gets you through the next 2 days so that you can actually prepare for football. Because it is a complete cluster show of people trying to draw attention to themselves.
I learned this in MMA covering it as well, that sometimes when you get a big event, like when the UFC would come to town, right, you'd get a lot of people that aren't really around the sport,
right,
but they wanna be involved in it. And I have a feeling that's the case here, where you're getting folks showing up that are just fringe football fans or whatever and don't really know, you know, good questions to ask or appropriate questions to ask. And that's probably where you're getting. I mean, I doubt very seriously – you know, Stephen A. Smith asked that question. You know,
and the thing
it's going to be somebody that probably doesn't know a whole lot about football.
It's that combo platter, and then it's the people, like I said, that want to be noticed, seen, and they want the attention to be on them.
Yeah.
And so they come dressed a certain way.
Yep.
I mean, look, Peyton Manning, the the unknown of the Manning brothers, came dressed in a full Cash Money suit with matching tie last night.
Peyton Manning, then?
His brother, Cooper.
Oh, Cooper,
yeah,
Manning.
Cooper was walking the floor, so I was like the unknown Manning brother.
Right.
Was all over walking around.
So. Okay, gotcha.
Absolutely. All right, so we've reached the first point in the show where we must allow people to take care of the Bills here. We do want to thank Sprint, by the way, who always takes care of us. They have us here on Radio Row. Sprint is also responsible for all these great appearances we have going around town throughout the week. But we have a Hall of Famer joining us next. We have one of the greatest defensive backs to play the game of football. Aeneas Williams is going to join us next, and he is going to fill us in on everything going on right now and also a little bit about Kay Jewelers. So don't go anywhere. We are ESPN 97.5.
This is Sprint Week.
Can you hear that?
This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joe Blake, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara manning the fort here on Radio Row in H-Town. Your city and our city is a beautiful city again today. And we are joined by now an eight-time Pro Bowler, four-time first-team All-Pro, and Bart Starr Man of the Year Award, which should not be lost in the shuffle because that's important, too. It's as important what you do off the field as you do on. And, of course, the most important honor of all, the Hall of Fame. Defensive back Aeneas Williams joins us right now. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
Glad to be here. Texas, I got in last night. Houston has been gracious host, and looking forward to just an outstanding week and hopefully a great Super Bowl game.
Yeah, I think that the one thing that is good about this city and just everything I've seen so far is they had that first time through. They understood where they made mistakes, mm-hmm. and now they are completely knocking it out of the park. Because so far, pretty much all reviews are in so far is, hey, the weather cooperated, but everything right. other than the weather has been fantastic.
And the entire setup to have a venue like this, you guys definitely do it big in Texas, right?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
This has to be. If this is not the biggest conference center in the country, it has to be one of them, I would think.
So, first and foremost, you saw this is a big week for the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. The new class will be announced. Your thoughts on, I mentioned the accolades, but going from that career where I'm sure at that time you were just focused on team and wins and the accolades came as they came, but when you started to put into perspective the fact that beautiful piece of jewelry on your finger and that dead gold coat and that what it comes with it, when did you finally, after stopping playing, look back and say, look at your career and go, man, I could get this, and then actually when you got the call?
I don't know if I ever look back and say I can get this versus just people remember the thing that I love when now I'm 49. I just turned 49 January 29th. When fans, grandparents, parents bring their children, mm-hmm. bring their grandchildren up to you and just see you about, and they with smiles on their faces, and they remember the moments they had, how you played the game.
Mm-hmm.
All the accolades, all those things are good. There's a selection committee that decides that, and the grace of God, I got in. And there are a number of guys that should be in eventually get in. But when I think of that moment, I really think about, yes, I had a goal to be one of the best to play the game, but the focus was everyday attention to details, preparing in the off season to be the best I could during the season, and then practicing with excellence every day during the week. So even as we talk about the Super Bowl, people say, well, what is it like to play in a Super Bowl? I share, and I'm quite sure the New England Patriots and hopefully Atlanta's approaching it the same way. All the Super Bowl is more people watching what you do every day. And anybody that gets anything past that, typically they get out of character and get out of what makes them successful.
Now, you still live in St. Louis, correct?
Yes.
Thoughts on the Rams move?
Well, when my wife and I were there, we're in Ferguson. My wife and I pastor a church, the Spirit Church in mm-hmm. Ferguson, Missouri. And being there and also my role as senior advisor to the vice president of football operations with the league. So you kind of understand the business side of it. I just hate it for the fans as well as the workers that work for the team. And St. Louis is a city that can handle an NFL team. Sure. And hopefully, at some point they'll get a chance to get another team.
Yeah, you look at it and you think the Cardinals and the hockey team, the Blues, do very well, and all those centrally located venues, you've got everything that you needed. And growing up in the Midwest, I know how important sports is to the culture and the fabric right. of cities, especially like St. Louis, like Chicago. You know, they can have some tough times. And I always say, it's just sports. It's not real life.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's a distraction. It's not like that serious. But when you take something that serious out of the community, right. people don't realize the ramifications across the entire population.
Correct. And just understanding that, the thing I dislike about it the most is those young, impressionable fans. Because that's the crop of fans that are in these cities that are growing up, and they're going to decide sometimes, man, I'll never have my heart broken again. So I want to make sure we find some way as a league to have goodwill in some of these communities where we can win back the hearts of some of these people. That some of these fans that have just experienced what we call the business side of it,
sure.
but also doing some things that will get them back re-engaged with the National Football League.
Now, in your playing career, you moved from cornerback to safety, free safety, right? How difficult was that move?
That's a great question. I like to use the example of Josh Norman. Josh being a shutdown corner, mm-hmm. big contract with the Washington Redskins. Mm-hmm. Early in the season, if I'm not mistaken, they played against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And for some reason, he did not match up against Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown went off in that game. And I remember a lot of the media asking, this guy's paid all this money. Why is he not following the best receiver? So people would ask me that question because that's what I did. Well, one of the things you have to realize, and I don't know Josh, and Josh may be able to do this, and I could be completely wrong. Mm-hmm. If I was guarding and covering Michael Irvin, I had to go everywhere Michael went. That includes out wide, in the slot, even when Shane Gailey put him in the backfield. Well, what comes with that responsibility is the ability to understand the defense. Because I can go from an outside corner position with a certain responsibility mm-hmm. to now being in the slot on the receiver and have a totally different responsibility. And so I love coaches that figure out what do their players do best, regardless of how much you're paying them, and put them in the position to be successful. So when you ask me that question, what that transition was like, well, I never played the cornerback position just in a tunnel, like a number of shutdown corners. Okay,
right.
they take care of a third of the field. They cover this one guy.
Right.
I was always thinking, because the best defenses are team defenses, and that's what New England does well. Malcolm Butler probably be matched up against Julio Jones,
mm-hmm.
but it won't just be Malcolm Butler stopping him. It'll be the entire team being aware of where he is. And that's the difference. And that transition, the question you asked me, it was a lot easier because I understood the game, not just from a corner perspective, but from an overall defensive perspective, because the free safety is the quarterback on the defense. And so it's needful for that player to understand all the components of the defense.
Well, and we know you're here as well representing K Jewelers. And the one thing that I always notated when I saw you play, and I saw, again, I focused as much off the field sometimes as on the field when you spend as much time around sports and teams, and I know how much you cared about charitable contributions, giving back, doing things that mean something for the community, and I'll let you tell it, but what a great partnership to have you teamed up with someone like K Jewelers, because K Jewelers is focused on St. Jude's and trying to give back, and that's fantastic.
Well, the initial partnership that even allowed this week and this partnership that I'll highlight in a second was the partnership with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And seeing K Jewelers be able to design just an outstanding ring of excellence.
It is beautiful.
But now their philanthropic arm to be able to partner with St. Jude Children's Hospital and research and be able to put millions of dollars into developing cures for diseases that young people should not have to deal with at a young age. So we want to inspire the fans out there to go to Twitter and go on Facebook and post a video where they're singing the K Jewelers jingle. Every kiss begins with K, right? Because I'm going to encourage you guys to do that later. And here's what happens. When they do that and they post it, hashtag Sing for St. Jude donation. For every video posted, a $100 donation will be made to St. Jude up to $50,000 total.
Can I do it a bunch?
You can do it as many times as you want. The other part is to remind the men, guess what else is coming up? Valentine's Day.
Yep. Yeah.
So men, to put a smile on their wives or significant others or daughters' faces, you go right to K.com and you order some of the beautiful jewelry that they have right there.
Yep.
But it's a great partnership, as I said, T. to be here. And just want to remind everyone, hashtag Sing for St. Jude donation.
It's fantastic.
You guys ready to sing the jingle?
I can do it right now because I could have done it. Nick was going to do it, but when you said you know what's coming up for guys, Nick thought his physical exam was on the calendar.
Is that what it was?
He was starting to get out of here, but then when you said it's actually Valentine's Day, he felt a little better because he doesn't have any responsibilities
with that. Well, we're going to sing this, y'all. We're going to record
it.
You ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's whatever
put it
you want to do.
You ready? Here we go. You ready, Nick?
Yes, sir.
Here we go.
In 3, 2, 1.
Every kiss begins with K.
I was on pitch. I just want you to know that.
That was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. This is men to boys. Exactly. We eventually men may boys. Become boys to men, but for now.
Our voice box will develop a little bit.
Yes, exactly at some right. Point, men right? to boys can also execute the master plan.
Now, I've got one more question for you before you go. Because you kind of get credit, and I'm using air quotes, for having a part in ending Steve Young's career. Did that bother you? That was kind of the label that you got, and did you guys talk about it? I mean, it wasn't your fault that Lawrence Phillips missed the block, right?
No.
Not your fault.
I totally understand. That's a great question. I get that question all the time. So finally, when I see Steve at the Hall of Fame every time the induction, I finally said to Steve, I said, hey, I need your help. He said, what's going on in this? I said, I need to record you, man. I need, because San Francisco 49ers fans, when they see me, they're blaming me tearing up their dynasty because I hit you. And Steve said, Aeneas, no, man. They need to know that was one of the best decisions of my life.
Oh.
I end up marrying my wife. I end up having these great children. And I didn't vacillate back and forth and stay in the game too long. And I have this great broadcasting career where he'd get paid these big checks. So I said, hey, Steve, would you put this on video? So I video recorded. So now when the 49er fans come up to me, I just played the video. I played a video. I said, hey, Steve has a message for you.
See, I would have just told him, blame Lawrence Phillips. He missed the block. That's not my bad.
But I
did my job.
The other thing is, too, which you didn't have to deal with till basically, and it was just starting when you were at the end of your career. But the bottom line is, that was the both ends of the spectrum from social media. Because you get it in all the hatred and everything from people from social media. Right. But now the beauty of it is, you can now pull out your phone and go, come on, man. Here's Steve himself.
Exactly.
And it ends everything. It solves it all. That's fantastic.
That's the awesome thing about using social media in a great way
versus
in a negative way.
Now, you played against Brady, Super Bowl 36. Mm-hmm. Best quarterback of all time, in your opinion? If not, name him.
I hate to say in a current generation the best quarterback of all times, but certainly if not the best in our generation.
Okay.
But all of these guys build on his mentor or his idol was the great Joe Montana.
Yep.
What the current generation does, and I'm excited about, they build on these legacies and get the opportunity now to be in the advent of an offensive explosion. So it's a little different. They get a chance to call plays at the line of scrimmage, put their offense in the best position based on what they're seeing. Those guys didn't do that in the past. And that's what gives them advantage as it relates to the yards and the officiating the way it's done now. So I like to respect each generation, but give kudos to each game, each person that puts together what I call excellence that benefits and blesses all of us.
Who was the toughest you went up against in terms of all of that?
I always get that and I always say it's not the toughest. Everybody presented a unique challenge. That was the difference.
Got it. Well, I'll tell you what. Tom Brady has an outstanding work ethic. They talk about that. I know this man also had a great work ethic. Hard work pays off. Aeneas Williams has been our guest. Fantastic to have you on the show.
Thanks
Good luck and have
me,
a great
Joel.
Week.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for being
Thank
here.
You. Thanks
we'll be back
lot,
with much more right here on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame you, Don.
This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Philpott's got his days mixed up, but so do I. When I hit the couch last night, I said it legitimately felt like Thursday night already of Super Bowl week. But it's only Tuesday, Philpott, so it's not Friday night. But it's a good day to be here on Radio Row. Barry Laminack, Joel Blank, Nick Sherrara running around making sure that he is seen and heard. And we are constantly getting great guests like we have right now. We have, with the theme of space in America's Space City.
Space City.
Correct. A lot of people talking about it. But we have a astronaut with us in our presence. Always an honor. Jessica Meir joins us right now. thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you here. Selected in the NASA Pro 2013.
That's
correct?
Right. Yep.
Right. And why don't you fill the fans in at home on some of your experiences through the program?
Sure. Well, I'm in the most recent class of astronauts. So we started in August of 2013, and we came here to Houston for what we call a two-year period of astronaut candidate training.
Okay.
So during that, we had to demonstrate proficiency in kind of five main areas in order to become real astronauts and then eventually get assigned a mission. So we had to learn things like spacewalking, how to use the spacesuit, and we do that in the giant pool that we have here in Houston. We had to do flight training, so some of us that didn't have any military aviation experience went to Pensacola to fly with the Navy. Now we fly NASA T-38 jets here in Houston.
Wow.
We take a Russian language lesson since it's the International Space Station that we have up there now. We have, with all of our partners, the Russian Space Agency, the Canadians, the Japanese, and also the European Space Agency. So everybody up there speaks both English and Russian. And we learn all about the different systems of the space station and then things like flying the robotic arm as well. So
is this something that you always, like, obviously when kids are little, they always say, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer.
Right.
When did you always have those aspirations?
I did. I actually started saying it when I was 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, pretty hard to believe sometimes for me, too, that a 5-year-old dream could actually come true.
Now, have you been up to space yet?
Not yet. So we're just on the verge now that we've graduated from all that training. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned, there are 7 other classmates, so there are 8 of us in my class. We're just starting to get our flight assignments now, and those are missions to the International Space Station.
So nice.
Once we're assigned, we actually train for another 1.5-ish years to 2 years to really get ready for the mission-specific elements of the training.
Now, I know that a lot of people in with the Space City and a lot of residents of Houston were fired up because of the fact that the shuttle program was scrapped, they were more worried about like having one of the shuttles actually be home based here.
Right.
But for you guys who are living this every day, what was the emotions that ran through that hold when you heard that word go down? Now it's just the International Space Station. Not that that's not anything great, but those shuttle missions had to be something that was a goal as well.
Yeah. So I actually worked here previously as a scientist, so that was during the shuttle days. So I did get an experience in that as well. But by the time my classmates and I showed up, the shuttle had already been retired since it finished in 2011. But it's really still been an incredibly exciting time, and we have had a continuous human presence on the space station for over 16 years now. So we have done some amazing things, continue to do amazing things in space on the space station, all kinds of scientific experiments which are supporting everything else we're doing in our longer duration goals of, for example, eventually getting to Mars one day, maybe returning to the moon. So really,
are we going to get to Mars one day?
I think humans will definitely get there eventually. You know, it's just a matter of getting the right goals and the right resources behind it, but it's definitely within our grasp if we decide to make it our goal.
Now, I'm guessing as part of your training, you've done the zero gravity simulation?
Not really a simulation, but the vomit comet.
What I was going to. Did you throw up? Did you pass out? Either
not.
Of those?
I have never thrown up on the vomit comet.
That's good. Do a lot of people actually do that?
A lot of people do. It's a little bit different.
Is that how you get cut? If you throw up, you're done? It's
not
like, nope.
Necessarily.
Okay.
It used to be that a lot of people got sick on it, but now they actually will give you some anti-nausea type medications too, and so many fewer people actually get sick on it.
Oh, well, that's not fun.
No, not at all. I was going to say,
it's still a lot of fun, believe me. Yeah.
Okay.
Especially when you do the lunar or the Martian gravity, so the pilot can fly in the specific trajectory so that you experience partial gravity, like if you're on the moon, that's a lot of fun.
I'm pretty sure a lot of people during Super Bowl week at the bars out in about in this area have experienced a vomit comet thanks to a bad taxi ride after a rough night.
Right, yeah. Well, it doesn't happen with GetMe.
No, because we love GetMe, because they get us.
Now, do you walk around in the NASA suit like all day, just like falling out?
Oh, every day. Yeah, of course. What else?
I would.
We don't have any other clothes.
That's good. I wouldn't wear anything else.
I hope
would
that
be
jumpsuit
like,
is clean, and also I hope the fact that it's insulated.
Well, she probably has like 15 of them. I mean, NASA has a budget.
Not quite 15. We are a federal agency. So.
That's true.
But can you match the right shoes
change
with it,
the
or
patches?
Do they supply the shoes as well?
We do have boots. They're our flight boots. We actually use them. I mean, this is actually a flight uniform. So this is it's the same kind of flight suit that any military pilot would wear when they're flying. It's made out of a protective material so it's fire retardant in case something happens. So it kind of became the PR uniform for us as well.
So break down the big game for us. What do you see happening on Sunday, Patriots, Falcons?
Well,
at least one of them can get airborne.
That's right. You didn't ask me where I'm from.
I know you're from Maine.
Maine.
That's right.
See?
I am from New England. So
we already know which way you're leaning?
Yes, that is a safe bet.
Also, Falcons,
I mean, last time.
Because they fly like NASA.
That's where I was going.
That's not it.
No?
That's not it. I mean, last time we had the Super Bowl here in Houston, it was also the Patriots.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
And who won
in
that
Carolina,
game?
Carolina, yeah. You and Adam Vinatieri won that game.
You're making me sick just talking like that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a big Patriots fan.
So, yes, my allegiance is to lie with the Patriots.
So you grew up Patriots, Red Sox.
Yeah, well, you know, in Maine, we don't actually have our own sports team. So,
right.
But it's part of New England. So, yeah, Red Sox, Patriots, Celtics, absolutely.
Oh, Celtics too. Okay.
Kevin McHale is a weekly guest on our show. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that was kind of the basketball era when I was young. Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale, Larry Bird. So those were the moments. Oh,
the
yeah.
Heyday.
Definitely. Well, we appreciate you stopping in and spending some time with us. And enjoy your week here on Radio Row and at the Super Bowl, because it is fantastic. And we appreciate everything that you're doing with the space program.
All right. You're very welcome. Thanks so much.
That's been Jessica Meir. She is an astronaut at NASA, and she is making the rounds here at Radio Row. So we are having fun and basically making sure that we cover everybody and get all these experiences out to you, the listener, here on ESPN 97.5. So we still have much more show to go. David Nuno is still in the house. Make sure that you guys check in from time to time on ABC13.com so that you can get some streaming video of everything. You can see some of our guests on air, and make sure if you miss something, you can backtrack not only on the podcast but also online so that you can get in touch with us and we can keep you informed on everything going on Radio Row. Right, Brady?
That's correct.
Have you checked the text messages?
I have. We got one, and I'm not going to read it in front of her because our texters don't know how to act. Yeah, it wouldn't be appropriate.
Socially, yeah, they're not. They're socially awkward.
It has nothing to do with you, by the way. It's just we have dumb texters. So
yes, we do.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
We do. Absolutely. So, David, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back. We'll regroup and see what we have on the schedule coming up in terms of guests within the next half hour. But we appreciate you being here. Keep listening. And if you want to join the show, we will take calls still. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. It's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
Is Sprint Week, ESPN 97.5. This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Philpott's got his days mixed up, but so do I. When I hit the couch last night, I said it legitimately felt like Thursday night already of Super Bowl week. But it's only Tuesday, Philpott, so it's not Friday night. But it's a good day to be here on Radio Row. Barry Laminack, Joel Blank, Nick Sherrara running around making sure that he is seen and heard. And we are constantly getting great guests like we have right now. We have, with the theme of space in America's Space City.
Space City.
Correct. A lot of people talking about it. But we have a astronaut with us in our presence. Always an honor. Jessica Meir joins us right now. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you here. Selected in the NASA 2013.
That's
correct?
Right. Yep.
Right. And why don't you fill the fans in at home on some of your experiences through the program?
Sure. Well, I'm in the most recent class of astronauts. So we started in August of 2013, and we came here to Houston for what we call a two-year period of astronaut candidate training.
Okay.
So during that, we had to demonstrate proficiency in kind of five main areas in order to become real astronauts and then eventually get assigned a mission. So we had to learn things like spacewalking, how to use the spacesuit, and we do that in the giant pool that we have here in Houston. We had to do flight training, so some of us that didn't have any military aviation experience went to Pensacola to fly with the Navy. Now we fly NASA T-38 jets here in Houston.
Wow.
We take a Russian language lesson, since it's the International Space Station that we have up there now. We have, with all of our partners, the Russian Space Agency, the Canadians, the Japanese, and also the European Space Agency. So everybody up there speaks both English and Russian. And we learn all about the different systems of the space station, and then things like flying the robotic arm as well. So,
is this something that you always like? Obviously, when kids are little, they always say, "I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer."
Right.
When did you always have those aspirations?
I did. I actually started saying it when I was 5 years old.
Oh wow!
So yeah, pretty hard to believe sometimes for me too that a 5-year-old dream could actually come true.
Now, have you been up to space yet?
Not yet. So we're just on the verge now that we've graduated from all that training. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned, there are 7 other classmates, so there are 8 of us in my class. We're just starting to get our flight assignments now, and those are missions to the International Space Station.
Nice.
So once we're assigned, we actually train for another 1.5-ish years to 2 years to really get ready for the mission-specific elements of the training.
Now, I know that a lot of people and with the Space City and a lot of residents of Houston were fired up because of the fact that the shuttle program was scrapped. They were more worried about like having one of the shuttles actually be home-based here.
Right.
But for you guys who are living this every day, what was the emotions that ran through that hold when you heard that word go down? Now it's just the International Space Station. Not that that's not anything great, but those shuttle missions had to be something that was a goal as well.
Yeah, so I actually worked here previously as a scientist, so that was during the shuttle days. So I did get an experience in that as well. But by the time my classmates and I showed up, the shuttle had already been retired since it finished in 2011. But it's really still been an incredibly exciting time, and we have had a continuous human presence on the space station for over 16 years now. So we have done some amazing things, continue to do amazing things in space on the space station, all kinds of scientific experiments which are supporting everything else we're doing in our longer duration goals of, for example, eventually getting to Mars one day, maybe returning to the moon. So really,
are we going to get to Mars one day?
I think humans will definitely get there eventually. You know, it's just a matter of getting the right goals and the right resources behind it, but it's definitely within our grasp if we decide to make it our goal.
Now, I'm guessing as part of your training, you've done the zero gravity simulation.
Not really a simulation, but the vomit comet.
What I was going to. Did you throw up? Did you pass out?
Either of those? I have never thrown up on the vomit comet.
That's good. Do a lot of people actually do that?
A lot of people do. It's a little bit different.
Is that how you get cut? If you throw up, you're done? It's
not
like, nope.
Necessarily.
Okay.
It used to be that a lot of people got sick on it, but now they actually will give you some anti-nausea type medications too, and so many fewer people actually get sick on it.
Oh, well, that's not fun.
No, not at all. I was going to say.
It's still a lot of fun, believe me. Yeah.
Okay.
Especially when you do the lunar or the Martian gravity, so the pilot can fly in the specific trajectory so that you experience partial gravity, like if you're on the moon, that's a lot of fun.
I'm pretty sure a lot of people during Super Bowl week at the bars out in about in this area have experienced a vomit comet thanks to a bad taxi ride after a rough night.
Right, yeah. Well, it doesn't happen with Get Me.
No, because we love Get Me, because they get us.
Now, do you walk around in the NASA suit like all day, just like falling out?
Oh, every day. Yeah, of course. What else?
I would.
We don't have any other clothes.
That's good. I wouldn't wear anything else.
I hope that jumpsuit is clean, and also I hope the fact that it's insulated.
Well, she probably has like 15 of them. I mean, NASA has a budget.
Not quite 15. We are a federal agency. So.
That's true.
But can you match the right shoes with it, or do they supply the shoes as well?
We do have boots. They're our flight boots. We actually use them. I mean, this is actually a flight uniform. So this is it's the same kind of flight suit that any military pilot would wear when they're flying. It's made out of a protective material so it's fire retardant in case something happens. So it kind of became the PR uniform for us as well.
So break down the big game for us. What do you see happening on Sunday, Patriots, Falcons?
Well,
at least one of them can get airborne.
That's right. You didn't ask me where I'm from.
I know you're from Maine.
Maine.
That's right.
See?
I am from New England. So
we already know which way you're leaning?
Yes, that is a safe bet. Also,
Falcons,
I mean, last
time. Because they fly like NASA.
Yeah,
right?
Said, that's where I was going.
That's not it.
No?
That's not it. I mean, last time we had the Super Bowl here in Houston, it was also the Patriots.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
And who
in
won
Carolina,
that game?
Carolina, yeah. You and Adam Vinatieri won that game.
You're making me sick just talking like that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a big Patriots fan.
So, yes, my allegiance
is
to lie with the Patriots.
So you grew up Patriots, Red Sox.
Yeah, well, you know, in Maine, we don't actually have our own sports team.
Right.
So, but it's part of New England. So, yeah, Red Sox, Patriots, Celtics, absolutely.
Oh, Celtics, too. Okay.
Kevin McHale is a weekly guest on our show. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
so. And that was kind of the basketball era when I was young. Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale, Larry Bird. So those were the moments. Oh,
the
yeah.
Heyday.
Definitely. Well, we appreciate you stopping in and spending some time with us. And enjoy your week here on Radio Row and at the Super Bowl, because it is fantastic. And we appreciate everything that you're doing with the space program.
All right. You're very welcome. Thanks so much.
That's been Jessica Meir. She is an astronaut at NASA, and she is making the rounds here at Radio Row. So we are having fun and basically making sure that we cover everybody with and get all these experiences out to you, the listener, here on ESPN 97.5. So we still have much more show to go. David Nuno is still in the house. Make sure that you guys check in from time to time on ABC13.com so that you can get some streaming video of everything. You can see some of our guests on air, and make sure if you miss something, you can backtrack not only on the podcast but also online so that you can get in touch with us and we can keep you informed on everything going on Radio Row. Right, Brady?
That's correct.
Have you checked the text messages?
I have. We got one, and I'm not going to read it in front of her because our texters don't know how to act. Yeah, it wouldn't be appropriate.
Socially, yeah, they're not. They're socially awkward.
It has nothing to do with you, by the way. It's just we have dumb texters. So
yes, we do. Yes, we do. Absolutely. So, David, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back. We'll regroup and see what we have on the schedule coming up in terms of guests within the next half hour. But we appreciate you being here. Keep listening. And if you want to join the show, we will take calls still. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. It's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here till 4 ESPN 97.5.
Is Sprint Week, ESPN 97.5. This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, we want to give a special shout out to Sprint for making this all possible here on Radio Row in Houston, Texas, as well as on the web and on the app, so you guys can follow us wherever you go. And I mean, the guests just keep on coming. We are having a fun time here on Radio Row with Barry Laminack, Joel Blank, joined now by Dennis Bermudez. UFC Fight Night Houston this Saturday night. Everybody thinks the big event is Sunday. Hey, come on, man.
Right?
I mean, we're just talking about it. The corner over here, the Toyota Center, the big Sequoia, the big UFC letters, people were lined up to take pictures with that thing all day yesterday. Fantastic week of events here in the city of Houston, Texas. Fill us in on what you got going on Saturday night.
Saturday night, I'm fighting in the main event against the Korean Zombie. The guy's a veteran. He's been around the sport for some time. He just got off of a two-plus-year military leave in Korea. It doesn't matter who you are. You have to do your service
got
for
it.
The country. I respect that, man. I think that's really cool.
Do you let that get into your head, though, like, oh, ring rust is going to be a factor? Is that, do you just ignore that and look at his old tapes and go with that?
I'm getting ready to fight the best Korean Zombie there ever was, you know. Do I think he's as good as he was when he left? I mean, on paper, probably not, but I'm prepared to fight the best.
2 years older, but not 2 years more experienced, so.
Correct.
That probably has a factor. Now, on a scale of one to Derek Lewis, how hungry are you right now?
I'm pretty hungry because I ate this morning.
Okay.
And then I had to do some running around, and I'm scheduled to eat, like, probably like a half hour ago.
Yeah, and you haven't. You're here talking to us, schmoes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad to talk to you guys, but yeah, I'm not too hungry. I'm not starving,
right?
But at the same time, this is kind of like a pleasant distraction. There's a
for
lot
sure.
of attention,
yeah.
All those things going on. But at the end of the day, you still have to focus on what you have to do in terms of training and eating and managing it all because this is a big opportunity Saturday night.
Yeah, 1,000%. And you were saying about how. They say the big show's on Sunday
right.
when, you know, there's showdowns. So someone brought to my attention, they had this, like, little, like, quote for fighting. If there's a baseball game on one corner, a soccer game on another corner, a football game on the third corner, and a fight on the fourth corner, where's everybody going?
To the fight.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
Well, you know what's amazing to me is
so the NFL, one of the players should fight each other a little bit, somewhere in there.
That could be arranged, yeah. But then, of course, then there's those fines, and those guys don't like to absorb those fines. But, you know, Charles Barkley's a huge fan of the sport, and he'll tell anybody. He goes anywhere at any time just to make sure he is ringside for fights. He loves the sport. He thinks it's surpassed boxing, and he thinks it is a must-see opportunity every time it's in town. So that tells you from the exponential growth of the sport, it is worldwide in itself. And you mentioned soccer, but it's getting there in terms of challenging some of the top-name sports in terms of popularity.
For sure. It's still very young in its development. But I think in due time it will be, you know, one of the biggest sports.
Yeah. Now you've had a couple of performance of the nights, a couple of fight of the nights, submission of the night. You had the submission of the season.
Correct.
Ultimate Fighter 14.
Yep.
Okay. What is that something that you think about a little bit going into a fight? Like, you know what? I think that this guy, there's a weakness in his game that I can exploit and go after that bonus.
Probably all the fights that I'm like, hey, man, I've had some bonuses. Like, I could use a bonus right now. Let me go out and get it. They never come. You know, it's kind of like a knockout. You just got to go out there and do it and just...
When you
it just
try.
Happens. It just happens.
Yeah,
if you do it right, and you, it just happens, you know?
Yeah, I got you.
Well, you know, and you look at, to me, the amazing thing is you're never out unless you're completely out. Because, you know, I've seen, I was ringside for a couple of last events here, and I'm telling you what, it boggles my mind your endurance that you guys have to have, and the way that, you know, you say take a licking and keep on ticking. But, man, I've seen so many guys turn it on after it looked like they were down and out, and I don't know how you guys could actually practice that in your training and get prepared for that. But, man, I'm telling you what, it's impressive to watch in person.
That is one feat of fighting that actually makes a fighter, that you can't teach that. You know, it's either – because, I mean, there's been, you know, probably a couple of fights where I've gotten my bell rung and I'm not – really home. Some people, when they're not really home, are taking a nap.
Yeah.
Me, I've got this like great autopilot where I just like I'm gonna shoot on the guy or I'm gonna keep fighting. Like, I remember before I got into UFC, one guy rung my bell and then I was somehow, I don't remember it, I knocked him down because I just kept fighting.
That's that. You hear that a lot with wrestlers because you have a wrestling face. And you hear that a lot where that wrestling just is almost autopilot. It's just. It's like second nature. It's
muscle
just,
memory.
Even yeah.
Like when you cut the snake's head off and the snake's like still like moving and trying to bite
you. Just shoot no matter what, right? You just shoot.
Now, where are you on the fact that they said within the next 3 months that they're going to implement concussion protocol in the middle of fights and they'll stop and take you to the locker room to test you like the NFL before they bring you back? I'm just kidding. I just thought I'd throw that in there because we all know that it's such a topic and everybody in the NFL is, you know, is talking about that stuff. But that's the stuff that you guys have to deal with on the fly. Hey, you got your bell rung, but can you focus enough, like you said, with muscle memory and other things to stay in? Whereas there is no concussion protocol, and it is what it is. You got to fight it through to the end.
Right. I mean, I'm not throwing football underneath the bus, or I'm not trying to say that MMA is better than football or anything like that, but like of actual action, what a football game is like, if you use a stopwatch, it's like 5 to 6 minutes of actual action throughout the whole hour, correct?
Right. Lots of commercial time,
MMA,
stoppages.
Whereas in MMA, it's 15 to 25 minutes. I mean, granted the fight continues of constant motion, constant action.
Yeah. Straight well, through. Now let's be fair. Some wrestlers can make it pretty boring.
Yeah. I'm not gonna argue that. I mean, for some people,
not you, by the way.
Yeah, yeah,
just some wrestlers.
For sure, I agree with you. But and then when you take it to like the next level, and like when you really, really understand that you can almost break down what that guy's doing. You know, I mean, maybe there's a madness behind his method. You know, maybe he's just trying to wear the guy out. It's boring for the fans to watch, but maybe he's just trying to wear that guy out for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and on the sixth, you know, minute coming out, he's gonna take him out. You know?
Now you're from New York, where for a long time. MMA wasn't legal.
Right.
Right? And then just in the last couple of years, it's become illegal, and there's been a... What was that like trying to come up being an MMA fighter in a state where legalized fighting wasn't allowed?
Yeah, so I've actually been helping the UFC for years. I was going with them to Albany and stuff like that and helping to lobby to get MMA legalized in New York. When I first started fighting MMA, I lived in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Where it was legal.
Right.
But I'm originally from upstate New York. I went to college in Pennsylvania, and I lived with my mother for a couple of years prior, post-college, where I started fighting. So I only lived there. I only fought there for, like, a year and a half before I moved to New York, where I couldn't fight in New York, you know? So then I was like, man, I can't fight and have, you know, fans, you know, or anybody I know.
But you mentioned that growing up in New York, when does it hit you? When did it hit you? This is what I want to do. This is I want to get into MMA. This is something I want to pursue. I can make a career out of this, and I think I can really be successful.
It wasn't until I actually got into MMA that I was like, hey, man, I think I could do this, you know. At first, when I started to just dabble in MMA, it was, you know, I'd be at the bar hanging out with some friends. Hey, man, you should do this, just because I was an aggressive wrestler. I've got the stocky stature, you know, and I'm the tough guy, you know. So, so a lot of people told me I should get into it because, you know, like we said, that the sport was evolving.
Right.
So I started just dabbling in it just to kind of replace wrestling because I wasn't wrestling anymore. I was done with college. And I was like,
that's what I was going to say. So you were a wrestler by trade, and all of a sudden you realize your wrestling career is over in school, and you're thinking, what am I going to do with the rest of my life?
I needed something to fill the void of, like, competing. I had this, like, little chip on my shoulder for no reason, you know. Someone looking at me weird, like, what are you looking at, dude? Like, what's your problem? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I needed – because in wrestling, I'm proving myself every day in practice,
sure.
Proving myself in matches, and then, yeah, MMA just filled that void.
I thought you'd driven with Barry before. That's what Barry's attitude is when he's behind the wheel, so I just thought that translated to how you got into MMA.
In Pennsylvania, you know, like, drive the speed limit, maybe 5 miles over or whatever. Everyone just, you know, cruises. Living in New York and Long Island, everyone's in a hurry.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Everybody's in a rush to get nowhere, and I've actually felt this, like, rage come over. I'm like, dude, you got to be, like... Yeah, it blew over. Like, I'm like getting
get
angry.
Out.
That's not me. It's not me. I'm like, gee, they just.
So you can channel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, after the Ultimate Fighter, you went on a 7-fight win streak, dropped a couple after that, now on a 2-fight win streak. Talk about this fight. What are we going to see? What should we expect? What's going
to
happen?
We're looking just to be smart out there. You know what I mean? I think if I just keep it basic, keep it simple, and keep moving, good things will happen.
There you go. That's pretty much breaking it down for a philosophy on more than just fighting. Keep it simple. Keep it moving.
Those, I actually, as long as I keep moving, like if I'm on the couch, I'm like, you're messing up in life right now, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I'm constantly moving, either I'm cleaning or I'm getting things done or I'm wheeling and dealing on the phone.
I can honestly say I've heard the acronym before, but I wasn't going to mention it to him.
What?
Keep it simple, stupid.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm not saying, hey, because no one's calling anybody stupid around
kiss.
Here. Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, yeah, you keep the kiss in mind because you keep it simple, stupid.
How do you win? How do you win, Friday? Saturday.
I mean, grind. I'm just going to grind him out. I'm going to grind him out and look for him to break somewhere, whether it's – in the striking, you know, and knock him out, or he folds on the ground and choke him out.
How much? Hey, we know how much tape is studied in football and sports. How much tape are you studying?
Fighters change, so you're just looking at their pretty much maybe their last two fights. You know what I mean?
But are you spending some time reviewing?
I'll look at a very little, but I have my coaches look at it a little more in detail, and then they kind of structure the workouts, they structure the practices, and then. I'm following their lead.
That's awesome.
And coming up as a wrestler, cutting weight was just something that you did.
Yeah.
Do you have a nutritionist, or is it still one
of those things
from the old days?
Yeah, I actually work with Chris Algieri.
Okay.
He's actually becoming like a really – so he fought Pacquiao. Mm-hmm. He fought Khan. I don't think he's done boxing, but he's a teacher over at Stony Brook. He does – he's not necessarily a teacher. He works with all of the students there. And helps them out with their diet plans, which I think is huge for an athlete, especially young athletes that are very uneducated. He's working with myself, Matt Mitrione, and a couple other big boxing bouts coming.
Well, he's got
up.
His work cut out of with Meathead.
Yeah.
Trying to get him in shape.
Yeah.
He's earning his money there, huh?
Yeah,
he is.
You need to hook him up with one of our co-hosts, Travis Johnson, who played nose guard for the Texans and is going about 350 these days.
Ooh.
But, yeah, he's a big dude. Okay, so before we let you go, you're soaking all this in, Super Bowl and everything like that, too. Do you know, are you following it? Who are you picking? What are you seeing?
I think Tom Brady and the Patriots are going to win. I don't think that the Falcons have a good enough defense to put the pressure on Brady that needs to be put on him to make him not be able to do what he does.
Gotcha.
That's good analysis.
It is. Breaking
it down.
You
actually did your homework.
You got a career after the career, so to speak.
Right. Yeah.
Get in there. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good luck.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
There you have it. Saturday night, it's the big event at the Big Sequoia. It is Toyota Center. It's not all about just football this week, gang. There is a lot more going on. There's a huge UFC fight at Toyota Center. You can check it out. You can get tickets. It's going to be here. But make sure you check out Dennis and get behind him as he takes on the Korean Zombie. We appreciate him stopping in and spending some time with us. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back more with Radio Row, brought to you by Sprint, as we appreciate Sprint making sure we're all taken care of here on Radio Row and with our appearances throughout the week. So make sure you tune back in, and we will be back with much more right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.